Perfect. All right, so welcome everybody. Sometimes we get to play, right? And sometimes we get to play in a game or a sport or run a race or different things like that. And we want to be prepared for it, right? Sometimes you got to have the right shoes. What sport do you think someone would play with these shoes? Yeah, basketball, when you're, you know, jumping and shooting and playing, you know, clamps on defense and all the different things that you want to do on the basketball court. And sometimes, though, you might get hurt. What might you use this for? Like a cast, yeah, or like, you know, wrap up your ankle so you can get back in the game, kind of recuperate a little bit. And sometimes you start getting older and you need these, like stretchy bands to like work out different muscles to make sure you're ready to keep going. Sometimes you might, you know, you might have some like ibuprofen or something to take away the inflammation, you know, make sure you're drinking enough water, all these things to keep going, to keep playing, to keep having fun, to keep, you know, even if it's tough, to keep going. Today, in God's Word, God keeps us going on the race God gives us called life. And He knows, we know where we're going, right? We know what Jesus has done for us. He's died on the cross to pay for our sins, so we know that we get to go to heaven. But all the different turns and moves of this race and the times we think we're hurt and things, God's going to get us through. And so you look at all the different pictures on the windows. You know, Jesus sometimes has to carry us like a good shepherd or lead us along. Jesus reminds us He's forgiven our sins by His work on the cross for us. And He gives us His word and the sacraments, the Lord's Supper, baptism, to strengthen us, to keep us His own, to make us His own, and to keep us on this path and strengthen us as we race. So let's fold our hands and let's thank Jesus for always helping us on this course that He's made for us. Dear Jesus, thank You for loving us. Thank You for forgiving us. Thank You for giving us a course to run and for promising us the finish line of heaven, and be with us every step of the way. Comfort us, strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen. God's word from Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one He loves, and He chastens everyone He accepts as a son, as His son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as His children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of the Spirits, Father of Spirits, and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed." This is God's word. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. You know it's going to be a good day when your coach says to you, "Are you injured or are you just hurt?" Something's happened, right? You've either taken a hit in the game and you're kind of slowed down and it looks like you might stop, or you're on that run in that race and all of a sudden it's the knee or the hip and you look like you're going to give up. And the coach is there to give you that right word of encouragement to keep you going, to get you back out there and in the race or in the game. The writer of the Hebrews writes to these Christians, who are Hebrew Christians, and he gives them that word. As we sit with them, listen, and see what we need to continue in this race that God has marked out for us. Focus on your Savior, especially in the struggles. Run the race. Recognize his loving hand. And reinforce, recuperate, and roll. Run the race he's marked out for you. The Hebrew Christians, they were Christians who had been Jews, and now were, you know, Hebrew Christians, Jewish Christians. They recognized that they weren't turning away from Jesus or rejecting him. They recognized by God's grace, the Holy Spirit working through the Word, that Jesus is the promised Messiah, the one who had been promised from the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fell into sin, this Savior who had come, and they recognized Jesus as the Savior. They recognized it wasn't by their performance or by their fulfillment of the law or their attempted fulfillment of the law or their best efforts that they were going to get to heaven. No, those all fell short. But they knew it was only by the grace of Jesus Christ, by his shedding of blood on the cross to pay for their sins, and by his resurrection, that they could be assured that they, sinners, were going to heaven. And it was good for a while, and then they started getting persecuted. They started suffering simply for this faith, and through all the difficulties that were coming their way, and many of them looked like they were going to give up. Some would return back to Judaism and just try to be done with it, and the writer of the Hebrews gives this word of encouragement, and he points them to the witness and the example of so many believers who have gone before, who have endured awful, difficult, destructive things, even met death, because the Lord was their Lord, and they trusted in the promised Savior. When he tell them to trust, they trust. When he tell them to speak, even though it would be rejected, these prophets spoke, and they did things through by faith, and they finished the race, and they were victorious. And so he points to them, this great crowd, or he says cloud, like you're on a mountaintop and this cloud kind of envelops you. There's so much around you, or early morning you've got that mist that just kind of envelops you and you can't see anything. There's so much. So many believers have gone before and been through so many different things, but the Lord has sustained them, and by faith they victored by the grace of God. And this is this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That's his God's word. Are you good at complaining? I am. I shouldn't be, but I am, and I think many of you, if not all of you, are pretty good at it, even if we don't give voice to it. We catalog the difficult things we have to go through, the difficulties in life, some because of our faith, some just because we live in a sinful world, and from the common cold to cancer, from family squabbles and interpersonal conflict we have with other people, to financial worries, and then the inner turmoil that goes on in our spirit, our soul, our conscience, as we battle against sin, sometimes winning, sometimes losing miserably, and falling in to sin and guilt and shame. To get through this, sometimes often we resort to blaming. Sometimes it's easy to blame someone else, where we can draw a direct line to our problem, from our problem, to an individual whom we are thinking caused it or is the sole reason, never letting that line come to us, but drawing it straight to that person or that group of people. And that sometimes makes us feel better or gives vent to the feelings that come with that. It'd be like you're running in a sprint and you're supposed to look forward, but you're looking at the person next to you the whole time, or looking back at that person in the background. That's no way to run a race. And actually, it dehydrates you, if you think about it, to have the grudges, to be unforgiving, to let fester in your heart the anger, the resentment, the rage that you feel toward other people, robbing you of the cool, refreshing water, of the joy that God gives you with his forgiveness and love, and also the peace, patience, kindness, and gentleness, and self-control that he wants to grow in you by his Spirit, working through Word and Sacrament, and we rob ourselves of that. That's no way to run a race. Sometimes we look in the mirror and we blame ourselves. And sometimes, I mean, that's not totally inaccurate. We're sinners. We recognize our sin, and the things we do often cause consequences and things like that. But also, the different things we suffer or struggle through in life, and we start to pick up guilt and shame. We can, you know, like, sometimes we even go so far as to let sin dictate what goes on in our lives as we give ourselves over to it and take control more and more. And so we're saddled with all this baggage as though we're carrying all these things on our race or looking down, worried about this, that, and the other thing, rather than casting off that sin or laying it at the cross of Jesus for the forgiveness he's won. But instead we carry these things with us. And that's no way to run a race, focused down and trying to grab all these different things. And pretty soon you're walking and pretty soon you're stopping. And sometimes, don't we blame God? Because God is in control. God has a plan, and we know those truths. And yet we realize everything that happens in our lives has to go across God's desk. And so the things we struggle with, the things we suffer, the things that God allows or even sends into our lives, and we know he's not the author of evil, that's clear, but he allows these things, allots these things to us. And sometimes we can just close our eyes and why, God, why? Or we could close our eyes wincing in pain and grief over what we're going through and focus on that and be overwhelmed by these things in our course that look like mountains to climb. And you can't run with your eyes closed, or at least not for very long. There's no way to run a race. And so Jesus focuses on himself. He says, repent. He says, drop these things at the cross. Cast off the sin that would like to dictate your life or control your life. And open your eyes. Open your eyes. And focus, not on the mountain, not on that 50-foot wall, but focus on me. Focus on your Savior, especially in the struggles, and run the race because he ran his race. Jesus ran his race, and he did it perfectly. Took on flesh, true God, true man, and he walked through everything, the difficulties we walk through, yet he did without sin. He did perfectly focus on his Father and his will for him, and he took those curves and bends, and he kept going, even though it meant his friends all deserting him. One even betraying him. It meant that the people who should have been waiting for him, who knew his scriptures the best, rejected him, denied anything he said, and wouldn't believe a word he said, and instead beat him, mocked him, and turned him over to the authorities that he as true God had set in place. Instead of honoring him and worshiping him, they flogged him, they struck him, they spit on him, and they made him carry a cross out to Golgotha. And on the He's laid out on the cross, and the very people he came to save are pounding nails through his hands and his feet. And does he look to the right and to the left to blame them? What does he say? He says, Father, forgive them. Doesn't curse and blame like the thieves on the cross. Father, forgive them. I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. This is who Jesus is. As he runs his race, he doesn't look to the right or the left. He stays focused in what he's doing. And the baggage that you and I often carry, he took upon himself, and he extinguished God's wrath over it and got rid of it completely by suffering for it, an eternity in hell that you and I deserve for our sins and sinfulness, the shameful things we've thought, said, and done, yet Jesus took care of all of them, and he says, it's finished. They're done, and he kept running right through, and then when he rounds that bend and the cross and the tomb right behind it are there in the path, he doesn't waver. He doesn't close his eyes in fear or grief or why God. No, he takes the punishment. My God, why have you forsaken me? He knew he was forsaken for what we had done, but he never lost his trust in his Father. And he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He's laid in that tomb, dead. This was in his path, but he didn't waver. He kept his eyes fully open, and he gave up his spirit, trusting his Father. The writer of the Hebrews says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. I don't consider that particularly joyful, to go through something like that, and I don't think you would either. But he did it. Even scorning its shame, even looking at the cross as a somewhat insignificant thing compared with what he gained, compared with the joy set before him. And what was that joy that led him to endure the cross? Is knowing he would win you, knowing he would earn your salvation, that by his life perfectly lived as a substitute for your life, and his death in your place so that you would never suffer hell, that meant you would be forgiven, and you are. It means that you are completely loved by God. You are accepted as his children, and he's opened heaven to you for all eternity, and that's where you will be. Not only does he mark out your course, but he's marked your finish line, that you're going to be in heaven with him for all eternity. That's the joy, what he was doing, enduring the cross, scorning its shame. So brothers and sisters in Christ, run the race marked out for you. Focus on your Savior, especially in your struggles, and recognize his loving hand. In your struggles against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, and now he quotes from Proverbs 3, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of the spirits and live?" I don't often spank my children, but sometimes I do. And sometimes I give them timeouts or ground them, you know, no more screen time or whatever the big punishment might be. Why? Because they need it. You know, they need to know where the boundaries are. They need to know where to be directed. They need to know, if you do this, it's going to be dangerous for you. If you do this, it's going to lead to this, and I want to curb you away from that. You can't do this. You can't hit your sister. You can't, you know, and just it goes on and on and on. And then also there's the training aspect of it. You know, you're going to have to dry the dishes and put them away before you play video games. You're going to have to take out the garbage and the recycling, do your homework before you go out and play. These are things you do to train them. Discipline and training, and I'm a sinful human father who rarely gets it right, but yet this is what I do. Why? Because I love my children. We suffer many different things. We go through many different trials. Recognize God's loving hand in all of this. "They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness." He disciplines us for our good. If we're sinning and we, you know, commit this sin and then there's a direct consequence for it, you know, then the message is pretty clear. Stop doing that thing, right? If it's one of those things where we're suffering, we're not quite sure why, it's sometimes a dangerous game to play to try and direct it to an exact thing. Finally, we just realize, whether we're suffering or someone else suffering, this is always a good time to repent as sinners and realize we need our Savior. We need to be in his word. We need his word and sacrament. We need his forgiveness. We need his direction in our life. And just we hold on to him and we grip onto him. And sometimes there's suffering that just lingers, whether it's an inner turmoil, you know, that we struggle with against a temptation or despair, or it's something in our lives, a cancer or difficulty that we just wish we could be rid of, but we're not. We go, "Why, God? What's the lesson you want me to learn?" Sometimes we don't always see it right away. And sometimes recognize it's not all about you. I mean, it's always about you. God loves you. But sometimes he's doing something for someone else's benefit. For an unbeliever to see a Christian struggle and focus on their Savior throughout it and persevere, that's an amazing thing. And it's a testimony to them. And that's just one of the many things it could be that God allows something in your life, or why God something allows in your life. And finally, we might not know all the individual whys, but we know the greater why. This is one more turn on the course before our Lord calls us home to heaven. And the victory shall be ours. He disciplines us for our good. We respect our earthly parents, our earthly fathers for disciplining us. How much more don't we see the loving hand of God as he disciplines us throughout our lives? And reinforce, recuperate, and roll. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. There are times in your life where you think you can't go on, and it's just too difficult, and you want to close your eyes, or you want to lock up and just stop. But hear these words through the pen of the writer of the Hebrews, from your God and Lord, that he's training you. He's guiding you along this path. And he gives you what you need to reinforce those ankles that are shaking, to wrap the knees and to get you back out there and running and rolling down the course of life that he has set for you. He's given you his forgiveness. He's given you his word that you can go to and cling to even when the feelings aren't there, even when the difficulties are looming and everything's overwhelming you. You don't have to close your eyes. You can keep them open, focused on your Savior, focused on your Father in heaven who's done all this for you and promises to guide you and take you and get you to that finish line. So reinforce, recuperate, and roll. The Lord gives you his righteousness. It was clothed around you at your baptism. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. He produces righteousness in you as he brings you closer in line with his will and teaches you and trains you many times through these difficulties to hold closer to him and learn more his love, even in the depths of difficulty that you experience. And he will get you, and you know where you're going. And even though the next turn might have something crazy and difficult, or maybe you're just rounding that turn, you see it, and it might even be your own death, you know that you're going to go right through it. Go right through it into heaven itself, because that's what your Savior has promised you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, focus on your Savior, especially in the struggles. Run the race that your gracious Lord has marked out for you, and trust and recognize the loving hand with which he allots these things to you. And he gives you what you need to reinforce, recuperate, and roll. In Jesus' name, amen. As we think about the wonderful gifts that God has given to us in the different areas of our lives, in the temples of our bodies, the time he allots to each and every one of us on the race he's called us to run, you think about the treasures that he pours out into our laps, the talents and abilities he gives to each and every one of us. One of the greatest gifts that we want to be good stewards of and cherish and thank God for is the truth of his word, which gives us the confidence to be good stewards in all these areas. And he directs us in the same chapter of Proverbs that the writer of the Hebrews wrote, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." In Jesus' name.